Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today. So everybody say that again. Let's say that together. We are that church. I believe that church is a really big deal. Matter of fact, I believe you being here today is an even bigger deal. I think that's awesome. Y'all give yourselves a hand this morning. I really do. Now, not just a patty cake. I'm saying, y'all know what y'all was fighting to get here today. Tell me, yes, brother, I'm just excited to be here. Sometimes it's a struggle to get up and come to church. I know. Trust me. It wasn't today, but there are days, man. It's a struggle. But I believe the church is a really big deal. Not necessarily, I'm not speaking specifically to Forward, but the church that video was describing, I believe that church is a really big deal. It's the church that we're called to be. Everybody say called to be. That means we're not there yet, but that means he's calling us and it's time for us to pick up the phone and say, hello, what do you need from me? You ever get those phone calls where you know before you ever answer it, they need something? And I learned this a long time ago in our relationship. Sometimes I get the yes out of the way. God, you know, Amy, whatever it is you want, yes, I'll do that. God, whatever it is that you want from me today, just get the yes out of the way. I just believe that just makes the tug of war game a lot easier. How about you? Because how many know sometimes our relationship can be a tug of war with God? God, I don't really feel like it, but I need you to, but I really don't want to. Oh, that's just me? Okay, that's my conversation. I need you to pick up the tab for that person behind you at McDonald's. I don't really eat at McDonald's, but if I did, ooh, that's a lie right there. Father, forgive me, Jesus. God says, pick up that. But what if they picking up for their whole office today? Well, that's just what I want you to do. How many knows God sees the big picture? He just wants to know, will you say yes regardless of what the picture looks like? He wanted to know, it doesn't matter what you think about Chiefland. It doesn't matter how you think it ain't going to happen. I just want to know, will you move? And when you say yes, the picture just gloriously looks a whole lot better than the picture that we painted. How many knows we always, for whatever reason, we paint a negative picture? Okay, maybe that's just me too. Maybe I'm the one that's having that you know, speak to the dude in the box behind the curtain moment today. Maybe it's just me being real and honest. The rest of y'all just be holy, okay, and pray for me. But I believe as we passionately pursue Christ, it's that church that we will become. Everybody say, we will. We will become. What does that church look like? I believe that church looks like real people with real issues, real problems. I believe that it's nobody trying to be the superstar. I don't believe it's anybody trying to be a star. I believe it's a community of people that are serving Christ by serving others. See, a lot of places, they feel like serving Christ by serving themselves. As long as I can have the microphone, as long as I can do what I, as long as I can, as long as we can have, as long as we can do all these things, as long as our church can. No. It's serving Christ by serving other people. Say other people. I'm going to have you talk back a lot today because I believe that you'll retain the knowledge and things that I'm sharing with you today because I believe it's very beneficial for your life. I believe that it's that church with real people. Nobody's faking here this morning. I think everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got skin. Everybody's got blood. It's that church that God wants to use and God will use. And I want to be a part of that church. How about you? If you're looking for a message title today, I've titled this simple message, and it's going to be very, 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 very brief. Somebody say, yeah, I believe that when we get to the end, and you say amen. Pray for me. Maybe I'll hear from God or hear from you or whichever voice is louder this morning. But the title of today's message is simply this: what's the big deal? Turn to your neighbor and say, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Have you ever seen those groups of people? Maybe it was at school. Maybe young people, you're going to know this, or us older people who were in school maybe last week, you know, like myself, or maybe 100 years ago, as Dad would say. You remember those guys or those girls on the other side of the parking lot or the other side of the field, and there was this like big deal going on. You didn't know if it was a fight. Should I go over there and see what it is? Like, what's going on? And you're like, man, what's the big deal? What's going on over there? Anybody ever, you seen that crowd? Or maybe you were in the group over there and somebody's making a big deal about somebody's shoes or maybe their outfit or their bling or their hat or the movie or restaurant or whatever was going on in that circle. and you were a part of it, and everybody else was going crazy, and you're like, what's the big deal? You know, kind of like some of y'all were this morning when I was in overdrive, like unstoppable train this morning, like I feel right now. You're like, I need you to slow the train down. And some of you, even now, sitting right here in that moment, are saying, I don't get him. What's the big deal? Man, Jesus is the big deal. He's the big deal. It's not about forward. It's not about first, second, third, fourth, fifth Baptist church and your friends. It's not. It's about Jesus. And that's the message. So if it's okay, I just want to talk about him today. Not my opinion. I just want to talk about Jesus. Is that all right? Somebody said, that's all right. I'm going to change the color of your skin, and you don't even know. I know some of y'all are like, man, is your dad, is that really your dad? Because you got to have a brother somewhere in your family tree. Amy said the same thing, but, you know, it is what it is. We're all one family. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, basically, when people ask that question, man, what's the big deal? The reason they ask that, the reason you have asked that, maybe today, or at some point in your life, is because you just don't get it. You don't understand. You don't really see what the big deal is. Many walk in and out of churches every week thinking to themselves, what's the big deal? Why is everybody getting so worked up? Why was that lady down there crying so much? Man, you don't know her story. Why was she raising her hand? Why was he? Because you don't know my story. See, you don't know. You've got a story. And God wants to use your story to paint his story. He wants to use your story to touch somebody else's life. Man, if I told you my story, first you'd run. Then you'd think about coming back to hear what I had to say next. Because God doesn't just use the people who are specifically qualified and have the perfect. If you're looking for a perfect church, it's not here. There may be people who paint a perfect picture, but there is not a perfect church. I'm not a perfect pastor. I'm not a perfect husband. I'm surely not a perfect father. I'm not a perfect friend. I will fail you. But with God's help, I'll be faithful. I'd rather have somebody who's faithful in a relationship than somebody who's fake any day. Those numbers may be smaller, but I would rather have a few than to have a bunch of people who just behind my back. How about you? What's the big deal? What's the big deal with church? What's the big deal with serving? What's the big deal with connecting? These are words you hear a lot around here. What's the big deal with doing life together? Listen, doing life together is a big deal. Ask the married people in the room. It's very important that you choose the right person. And for those of you that have tried it and didn't work out, like myself, I've went through a divorce. The D word. Hey, man, it is what it is. Things happen. How many knows God forgives? There's not a certain selection of grace and, oh, that sin, well, it just gets a smaller dose of grace. No. It's all the same. How many thankful for that? There's no big sin or little sin with God. You murdering somebody is the same thing about talking about your brother behind their back when they walk out into the church parking lot. It ain't no different. Sin is sin. For many of us, we found ourselves doing life with the wrong people. Anybody ever found yourself doing life with the wrong people? Now, if you're sitting someone next married, you know, it shouldn't be that person now. Hallelujah. So just look straight at me. Will everybody be good? Nobody have to be pulling out the heat today. We'll all be good. We've all found ourselves at some point in life hooked up with the wrong people, perhaps married to the wrong people, hung out with the wrong people in school. It's important who we're doing life with. Times when I've wanted to give up, it was a phone call or a friend who dropped by that caused me to want to keep going. Ever had one of those kind of friends? They just all of a sudden drop in. Man, that wasn't a coincidence. God sent them. Somebody said, I don't know if God really understands what I'm going through. How many by a show of hands around the room say, yes, there's times that I've had crazy stuff going on and somebody just showed up at my door. That's called a divine appointment. That means God read you. He knew exactly what you were going through. And he sent somebody. Now, he is not always going to send him in the package that you think needed to be. He may send Sister Sandpaper or Brother Hammer to come sharpen off the rough edges, knock a few things off that don't need to be attached to your life, Amen. So he's not always going to send the answer in the pretty wrapped up package bow that we would like to, so it's convenient for us and we can take him in doses. Sometimes God, however you want to give it to me, I'll take it. That's the attitude we need to have. However you want to. It's important that the space around us, I'm going somewhere. I know you think I'm chasing rabbits. No, it's not rabbit season. It's almost deer season, right? Oh, he deer hunts. No, I was just faking y'all out. But it's important, I was going somewhere. It's important who occupies space around us. Because if you have a lot of empty space around you and you just doing life, you know, and hanging out and the wrong people come by, if you've got empty space and it's not occupied by the right people, the wrong people will quickly fall in line and occupy the space that was actually designated for someone else to help get you to where God wants you to be. So you need to make sure that you've got people occupied. Brittany, come down here. You've got space around you that's occupied so that when the wrong people come around, I wasn't pointing at him. He's good. He's one of my theys. He's like, oh, really? I thought we was cool. So that when the wrong people come, you can go, no, that space is taken. So when the wrong person comes and tries to date you, you go, no, that space is taken. No, not today, devil. No, not today. This is not available. Even if you're working on who to surround yourself, because some people are like, oh, well, I'll go grab some people and we'll do this thing. No, you got to be careful who you put there. Because if you assign people to territory before it was their time and he's still working on them, it's very easy for us to become acclimated to their dysfunction. And before too long, you'll become like that person that you pursue. I was thinking about that while I was putting my notes together. I was like, whatever you pursue, you become like. I remember as a kid, there was multiple names of people that I wanted to be like, and you pursue and emulate them, and before too long, you will become like that person. And you got to be careful, because as you become that person, there are familiar devils. There are familiar devils and enemies that's attached to that person's life. And if you're not careful, that same enemy will then recognize in you what he's been hanging out with them. Are you tracking me? And then he'll say, oh, well, then he must be cool with me coming and hanging out. You got to be careful who you're hanging out with. If we don't get through all this, I'll pull a Pastor Dennis. We'll just pick this up next week. Because I just want to make sure we take time so that you understand, man, it's important who you allow to be surrounding your life. Because there's two types of people. It's okay to be a loner. It's okay to be a person who is alone, because some people are strong and can handle that. But there are other people that have positioned themselves, to be alone. And how many knows that when you watch National Geographic, that lion is going after the person who broke away from the pack? Man, it's important that you're in church. It's important that you come and you get surrounded by not perfect people, just people who are still going in the same direction you are. And if you're just standing still going, well, I like it the way it is, and everybody else is pulling out, guess what you are if you're not moving in the direction of the pack? You are alone, and the enemy's coming to knock you out. He's coming to prey on you. So it's important who we're connecting with. It's important who we're doing life with. It's important that we understand, this is where we're going today, it's important that we understand what the big deal is about church. Not forward, but church. It's important that we understand who we are, and what we as the church, everybody say, we are the church. Say that. We are the church. It's important that we understand who we are and what our responsibility is as the church. If we don't know who we are in here, we can never affect and change our community out there. If we don't know who we are in here, if I don't know who I am in Christ, I can never affect out there what God is calling me to do. So I got to know who I am. If we haven't discovered our purpose in here, we can never engage and execute our purpose out there and help others find their purpose. Somebody's helped you find your purpose. Somebody helped me along the way and helped me find my purpose. Those people out there who were searching, we're all searching. Everybody's got a hole and we're trying to stuff it full because we're empty. Everybody say empty. If you're not full, that means you're empty. Man, I want to be so full of God. I don't want there to be any unoccupied space for anything that doesn't need to be in my life. I got to make sure it's filled with Jesus stuff and not the world stuff. Because then I'll become acclimated and learn to just be okay with someone else's dysfunction. And I don't want to be around dysfunctional people. At least not Well, then, aren't you a pastor? Aren't you supposed to be? We got some dysfunctional people. Yeah, I'm dysfunctional, and I want to be around them as long as they're willing to change. But if they cool with their friends and all that, and I'm speaking of the unseen friends, if they're cool in their sin, man, I can help you, but I got to be careful because some of that might jump back off on me. So there is balance to ministry. If you brought your Bible, go with me to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter. Let me give you just a little background of this. We're going to be at the 20th verse, but let me give you just a little background of verses 1 through 19. This is a letter from Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and he writes about God's kindness. He's talking to them, the church, about how God has chosen to focus his love on the church. Basically, those 19 verses is a climax to the part that we're really going to dig into for just the next few moments here this morning, okay? And that is dealing with the church. He writes in such a way that they understand who they are. Like we just said, he's writing in such a way that that church understands who they are before he tells them what God expects of them. See, that's where the enemy gets us, because we want to be so focused on, God, what do you want me to do? But if you don't know that you're equipped to get that done, it's useless for God to show you what he's called you. It's useless for God to show you what he's called you to do if you're not convinced that you can do it. I want to build a house. Well, if I'm not technically skilled, and because of my math skills and my verbiage and my, that's probably not the area I need to be working in unless I call my brother Kelly. See, but it's cool that I hang out with Kelly, because I've learned a lot in building and in plumbing and in all the other kinds of crazy things that go off in my house, and I need help. But what do I always say? Come do it with me. I don't say, hey, will you come do it? I want to learn. How many people in here want to learn? See, if you're just expecting the pastor to do it for you and the worship leader to get it right for you, when the enemy comes and you're all alone, you're all alone. You're all by myself. Don't want to be. That's corny. Okay. See, I got that look. See, from my vase. Like, But that's what the enemy, he's listening for the sound you're producing. And if you're producing a sound that says, I'm all by myself, he's coming at you. So you got to make sure you're connected with the right people. So in the letter, he's just telling them about how before the foundations of the world, God, his focus was on the church. Basically, all he's saying is the church is a big deal. Everybody say, the church really is a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. If it wasn't, the enemy wouldn't be trying to fight the church so much. If it was just a gathering. I don't see the devil going after people at the Elks Club. I don't really know what clubs are around here. I'm not talking about like the bumping and grinding club. I'm talking about like, you know, where social people go and do things. The enemy's not really bothering them because they're not affecting his kingdom. But when you get connected with an organization or the church that's actually trying to remove people out of the hands of the enemy, he's coming after you because you're affecting his kingdom. So don't be stupid when you're trying to do something for God. You just mean to be on the lookout. He's coming. But as long as you're connected with the right people. I even got accused when we first met here, got moved here, that because I was hanging out with Jamie and Josh and I was a little thinner. I know I'm still thin, but I was a little, y'all work with me. I've been working out in the gym for a couple years. This will be my year number two. It's a small process, but I've been accused of hanging out with dudes to take care of stuff for me. It's important that you got the right people around. At least they knew they couldn't come around. All they wanted to do was talk. But I never got face to face with them. Only once. But I wasn't by myself. Somebody said, ooh, he's too real. What you want me to be? Well, moving right along. There's a reason that you were born. There's a reason that you were born and not someone else. The enemy fights us all the time with comparing ourselves to other people. It's okay to have a hero that you want to be like, but you got to be careful. I was up early this morning looking over my notes, and I saw this on Twitter. And it said, comparison will rip your sails, sink your boat, and blame the weather. If you're always comparing yourselves to other people and how people are better communicators than you, what the enemy's trying to do is to get you off the field. He don't mind you being on the team. He just wants you on the sidelines. Because when you're down there saying, hut, whether you're the receiver, whether you're the one making the blocks, it don't matter. If you're on the field, you're a threat to him. So trying to compare, you be you. Can't nobody be you like you. You can mess up only like you can mess up. Ain't nobody can mess up like I've messed up. Ain't but one me. Ain't but one you. Comparison. We'll rip your sail, sink your boat, and blame the weather. We'll blame something else. It was somebody else's fault. Yet it was me because I was trying to be somebody that I'm not supposed to be. There's a reason and a plan that he has for you that fits into his overall plan. There's a reason God created you. And we all fit into his plan. There's more to life than just living for yourself. There's more to life. There's more to coming to church than just finding your seat, getting your song, hearing your message, and shaking the preacher's hand and making sure you fist bump 5, 10, 15 people. There's more to life than just you. I was thinking about an insurance company. I think it was Colonial Mutual. I actually saw it not too long ago on TV. I don't remember the name, but it said something like towards the end of the commercial, it said, for the most important person in your life or in your world, and then it said you. See, that's the picture that the world is trying to communicate to us, is that it's all about us. It's not about you. It's not about you. If you're married, your spouse will quickly tell you, it ain't about you. I'm here to serve you. I'm hoping you're going to serve me like I'm serving you. And everybody said amen. Today I want us to look at the role and function that the church is to fulfill and why the church is such a big deal. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 says, reading this from the Message translation, I just like the way this is opening up. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power is exempt from his rule. There's not a congressman. There's not a legislation rule. There's nothing that is not outside of God's reach. He's not worried about who's in the White House. He's not worried about who's setting up town in Bronson at that house. He's not worried. God's in control. Your world may be rocky right now, crazy, don't know. God's in control. He just wants to know, will you surrender to him? Some of us need to be like Carrie Underwood. Jesus, take the wheel. We too busy trying to drive because we like the street. We want to drive on this street, but that's not the street. He's wanting you to get outside your comfort zone. So everything from galaxies to governments, no name, no power, exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. Everybody say forever. He ain't got this thing all wrapped up just for a little bit. He didn't do the most extraordinary, extravagant love gesture ever done just for a little bit. It's forever. He did it forever. It sealed the deal forever. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. He's in charge. Christ rules the church. The church you see is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. That's that verse right there we're going to hit and touch on. That's all we're going to be right there. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. In order for us to understand this scripture, we must understand who he's talking about when he says the church. Now, most people in here say, I know who the church is. I'm the church. We in the Western world have really, really, really... We say half-truths because I've even said it from the platform. This building used to be Walmart. Now it's occupied by Forward Church. But this building is not the church. You were the church. How many have ever heard that before? That's a half-truth. You're not the church, and I'm not the church. But together, we are the church. We are the church. We get that messed up because we've been influenced by the Greek way of thinking, which is individualistic. But the Hebraic, or the way the Hebrews, the way they thought about it was community. But we always are self-serving. I was thinking about calling the University of Florida and trying to find, I'll use that one. Because I really was. I was going to call the University of Florida and see if I could get an eyeball. Like a real. From an animal, something. But I didn't want Forward Church to make the news that way. You know what I'm saying? So... because I wanted to be able to have something to go, if I was holding up an eyeball, you guys wouldn't go, wow, look at that body. You might say, where'd he hide the body? But that's just a portion of the body. But I did not open this before I was supposed to. So This is calf liver, almost defrosted. Almost defrosted. How many want to shake my hand after church? This is calf liver. I was really going to, you know, open up and hold it, but my stomach couldn't handle it. The service would be over at that point. But when I show you this, this is a representation of a portion of a cow. When you see this, you don't go, man, look at that cow. It makes me want to eat a steak. Matter of fact, look at this. Don't make me want to eat anything for a month. Now, some of y'all would want to take this home. Who wants it? You want it? I just picked it up today at Walmart. Anybody want this? It's actually been in the refrigerator at the church. It's still good. You want it? Somebody want it? It's calf liver. There's like 5 slices. Give it to Mikey. He'll eat anything. I'll even give you the bag for it so you can put it back in the bag. It's still frozen. But that's a portion. Somebody got a pump real quick, sanitizer. There is a portion. That is just a portion of a cow. Just like you are not the body of Christ, but together corporately, we are the body. How many said, man, you really got nasty with that illustration? Yeah, I was thinking the same thing when I was over in the toy department getting another part of illustration, and he told me to run and get, he actually told me to, oh, I'm glad I found that, because he told me to get like a cow tongue or the pig feet or whatever. And I was like, no, dog, no, we ain't, not today, devil. So I looked over and found the frozen food section, and there was calf liver. I was like, okay. Somebody say, we are the church. We are not the church individually. We are the church corporately. I was thinking this morning while I was getting ready. How many remember the and I think I've got the pictures of this. You can show me the first one. Don't slide to the next one until I get there. How many remember the cartoon Voltron? Y'all remember Voltron? Anybody? Nobody remembers? Thank you, Brother Cole. These dudes right here, these cats actually change. I was trying to find. I was like, Transformers? No, that's not it. Thundercats? No, that's not it. I was like going way back into the 80s to find this stuff. So they change into the next picture. They change into these little creatures right here. They change into these lions and tigers and bears, and all that stuff. But then that's what they turn into. But then collectively, they change into Voltron. They form this other dude that does look like Transformer. His name is Megatron. He does look like Megatron. But that's how God, it takes 80s commercials to get me to really see this thing more clear. It's all of us, because how many knows that big guy can do more damage than 1-2 single of those guys can do? You see what I'm saying, where I'm going with this? The Bible tells us, the Bible teaches us that when we come together, we actually nourish each other. We actually nourish each other. So it matters if you're here. It matters if you're here. I'm watching the clock. You still with me? Because, man, I want you to get this. It's important. What you being here is a big deal. And you getting this is an even bigger deal. Okay? But when we're here together, it nourishes the body. There are things that function properly when you're here. Somebody said, because I know I think it all the time. If I see some of you in Walmart, I'm like, hey, we missed you on Sunday. There's that preacher trying to give us condemnation because we wasn't at church, trying to get in my business. No, I'm not trying to get in your business. I just want you to know we missed you. I've been a part of the games and trying to lure you. And that's I'm not down with that. So if you ever get an email or a text or Facebook or I see you on the street and I say, man, I missed you in church, that's not about where you been. No, it's because it's a part of the family. I mean, it'd be like if my knee gave out right now. I'd look kind of crazy up here, wouldn't I? Now, you can be here and not be here. Like, God's called you when you come in here to be nourished. Man, I was thinking about, you know, when you come to church and then all of a sudden somebody, you really didn't feel like being there, but somebody walked up to you and everything shifted and changed for you. It's not always what the pastor says. It could be the person sitting behind you. Because if we're all listening to the Holy Spirit, we're going to be sensitive to the needs of the people around us because we're doing life with them. And when you hurt, I hurt. And so it's important that we understand this so that when we're going through things and somebody comes up to us, what has happened is we've been nourished by something they've provided to us, whether it's a smile, a handshake, a hug, whatever. So you're supposed to be coming to church looking at how can I nourish somebody? You tracking me? That's your responsibility. Somebody say, I have a responsibility. If my knee gave out, the rest of my body would try to make do, but my body's suffering because this one piece of me isn't working like it's supposed to. So if you're not here, the body is suffering because there's a part that you play. There's a piece to God's masterpiece that only you can fit in. Only you can provide that picture to help the picture go clear. If my knee gave out, I'd be stuck. That's how the enemy wants to get us sometimes. He wants you to get stuck. But it's important that we understand. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. What's your role? What's your role? Maybe it's working in Kids Connect. Maybe it's taking up the offering. Maybe it's a smiling face. What's your role at being here? Because if the enemy can convince you that your presence here doesn't matter, he's trying to get you singing the song, all by myself, I want to be alone. Because if he can get you to that place, he's got you. He's got you. In Ephesians chapter 1:23, that one verse, it said, the church doesn't revolve around the world. The world revolves around the church. If I think that I'm the church, then the logical conclusion is the world revolves around me. How many Christians have you seen? That's they think I'm by myself, I'm the church. I'm no. Corporately, we are the body. We are the body of Christ. It's important that we understand our value. You are valuable. You may not feel like it. You are valuable to the kingdom. You're valuable to forward. He's led you here to help push ministry forward. It's always been about community. Because from the very beginning, it was God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was community. It's always been about relationship. So he's not going to change that halfway down the road. It's always going to be about relationship. Community was there. Relationship was there. God thinks community. We think individual. I want to give you three keys. First one is this. Why is church so important? Because together we can achieve more. Together we can achieve more. Example. Well, I already gave one example, was the floor. I can't write the check for the remaining $900. But you're five and you're five and you're five and you're... Together we can make that happen. Because that's what God wants for us to do. Another example would be your tithe. You're giving your 10% to this house. But what you may not know is... you're actually reaching people in the United States as well as in the Dominican Republic because we're tithing off your tithe. How'd that happen? Well, there was Antonio Salgado. Dad and I were invited to go to a steak night at a church in Williston, and he was the speaker. So, I connected with him right away. There's some missions I'm like, okay. But his whole family's there, and they're doing it. And so we felt connected with him. So what we did was we brought him here and the connection was still there, and God said, hey, we need to be investing into that ministry. And so that's what we're doing. So what you think is I'm giving here, but what God's saying is I'm using your small to reach further and people that we may never see. And we're doing more than if Bradley and Amy wrote a check and sent it to Antonio. We're doing more because collectively we can do more. Because together, we can achieve more. Nobody's saying, we want you to tithe so we can pay a power bill. No, there are some operating expenses. But man, God has sent us on a mission. And he's using every single part. It's up to us to find out what part we play. What's my role? It's a big deal. It's a big deal. You being here, it's a big deal. I wish you'd stop saying that. Because you got to know, it's huge. You can be sitting here and not executing your portion of the role. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about what? Nourishing the body. You can come in here and sit and do nothing. And God will bless you, maybe. But He wants more from you, and he wants more for you. He wants to get blessings through you. Again, I'm not talking about money. And there's hurting people that come in. He wants there to be wholeness, and he wants you to help make them whole. He wants to use you as conduit to make that happen. But if you're so broken and jacked up, and he wants to make you whole first. He wants to make sure you understand you're equipped to get the job done. He can't send us out and give us until we understand I'm equipped to do this. Times may get hard. Things may get a little crazy. But I'm going to do this. Because it's a big deal. And I'm surrounded by awesome people. Number two, the church is God's plan to revealing himself to us and growing us as his children. That's part of his plan, is to reveal himself when we come in here, for God to show us who he really is. Not my opinion of who he is, but my portion and your portion paints a bigger picture. Somebody says, well, but I don't know a lot about God. It's not about what you know, it's about who you are. Let me say that again. It's not about what you know about God. It's about the role you play. It's about who you are. Because he's put something inside of you. You're a piece. You're a piece of the puzzle. And I got 1,000 pieces, because I know the building that we're going to be in next is going to be 1,000 plus. So these pieces represent lives. Your life, my life. You're a piece to this picture. Just you, not the church. But with you, together, we are the church. Without you in it, there'll always be a piece missing. Somebody say, are you trying to raise numbers? No. I'm trying to get you to understand, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So in this box, the box represents the world. The picture on the front represents his plan for the world, and we're inside. I didn't mean to go back that far. Not one of us has the monopoly on what God looks like. You don't have it. My dad doesn't have it. There's not as, I don't care what cemetery, whatever you want. I don't care where you got your higher education. Not one of us on this earth have the lockdown on who Jesus really is. But my peace and your peace make the picture a lot clearer. But how many knows just two of us can't make the picture clear? It takes every one of us to make his picture and his plan for this area where he's called us to be, makes it much clearer. It's in this community that God speaks and acts. Listen, Jesus is not a theory to be studied. He's not a theory to be studied. He's a person to get to know. He's a person that we're to fall in love with. He's a person that we become like. I didn't learn about love because I read it in a book. I didn't learn about love because my dad was a pastor and I was raised in a preacher's home. I didn't learn about love that way. You know how I learned about love? I went out and I did some things how I wanted to do it. I made some horrible mistakes. Horrible mistakes. But it was people who came up beside me and connected with when I didn't want to connect to people. Because people hurt people. And they said, we want to walk with you. That's how I learned about love. God wants to show us his plan and love, what love really looks like in the body. You're not going to find it out there. That's a messed up view of what love looks like. Number three, and I close. The church is God's method of bringing himself to the world around us. Again, it's not about us. It's not about what he does in here for Forward and First, Second, Third, Fourth Baptist. It's what God's doing and wants to do for the community and your family. That's what's important. He's calling us to love people. He's calling us to love the unlovable. Us coming in here because we like each other, that's not the church. Oh, I can get together with my friends and we can play cornhole and man, we're going to have church. That's not church. That's fellowship. Church is when you get around people who don't think like you, don't look like you, don't vote like you, don't like the same football team. That's church. Well, I don't like the way you do that. That's church. But we do it in a safe environment through love and grace. Well, I don't know why you came in from Georgia trying to change stuff. It's fine just like it was. Well, because there's some responsibility that has to be taken. But see, what happens is when you do things in love, the Bible says it's by that love that they will know that you are my disciples. See, for us to all come in here with crazy pasts and, you know, people saying, well, man, y'all just let anybody come to forward. Well, yeah. And when you see us working it out, the only way you can explain that is the love of God. Because if all you got is a bunch of perfect people, that's not love, that's fellowship. I like you, I'm going to let you stay. But if I don't agree with you, but I love you, that's the love in his plan. That's the way it's supposed to be. So this morning, man, I had so much, and I know I could have changed it into two parts, but I wanted to get to this part right here. This is important because I think you got it. Church is a big deal, and your role in the church is a big deal. So this morning, these pieces represent your life. And if you say, you know what, I want to come get my piece. In just a moment, the lights will go down and he's going to turn that music up. And what I want you to do, this is what God showed me. I don't care if you put this on your dashboard, if you put it with clear tape, so that you understand every single day, this piece represents me. I'm not the full puzzle, just like I'm not the church by myself. But I've got to connect. I've got to connect with other pieces that will help the puzzle. And I get it. Well, that's just a little cardboard piece. How's that supposed to? Because when you put it in front of you, the enemy, every time the enemy goes, psh, it ain't that important. It ain't really that big deal. No, it's huge. And if you're not here to fit the puzzle, if you're not here to fit in the piece, fit your piece into our pieces and make it one, the body is not whole. No, I was not trying to, because I know people, I'm the same way. When I go to a conference and I hear somebody speaking, what's the underlining message? Is he trying to, you know, last week it was every chair full, this week maybe not so much, and he wasn't standing room only. It ain't got nothing to do with numbers. It has everything to do with you understanding that you have a piece to play. You have a part to play in God's kingdom. It's not about forward. Not about forward. It's about you. It's about your life. So I'm going to pray, and then after I do, and then I want you to come grab your piece. If you say, you know what, I get it. Maybe you have always understood. Maybe you've always understood that you have a role to play. But man, I'm putting one in my car because I have to be reminded. My role is important. And you'd be surprised the times the enemy goes, it's really not that big of a deal. It's just chieflin. It's big. Father, this morning, God, I've obeyed your word. I've communicated in the best way that I can in my ability. God, I believe, I'm trusting that a body of believers connect with that word, that there is a part, they are a big deal. That puzzle would not be complete without that one piece. If that one piece is missing, sure, I can try to push somebody else into that role, or I can try to force another piece of that puzzle to make it look like the picture, but it's not because the edges won't be right. So God, I ask that you would help us as a body to understand the importance, understand our value, and to connect and to stay connected. In Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come?
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.